Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. Oh, Mubarak for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success, say success.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah.
As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah. وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear respectable brothers, whenever you enter the masjid, always remember to make the intention of i'tikaf. For as long as you remain within the masjid, inshallah you will acquire the reward of sunnah i'tikaf. It is mentioned in Fatawa Shami that if anybody wants to eat, drink or sleep in a masjid, then he should make the intention to observe i'tikaf, do dhikr of Allah for some time, and then he may proceed as he wishes, i.e. now if he wants to drink, eat or sleep, he is permitted to do so. The final Prophet of Allah, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, has said, recite salat abundantly upon me on Friday night and on the day of Friday. Because whoever does this, I will be his intercessor and witness on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My dear respectable brothers, we are currently going through that particular time in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given this glad tidings that he will be the intercessor for those individuals who spend their time during the night of Thursday and the day of Friday reciting Durood-e Pak. So we should not waste this opportunity, but rather spend this time, when appropriate, to send Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The best of creation, our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, has stated, afdalul amali an-niyyatus sadiqa, which translates as a truthful intention is the best action. So before performing any permissible action, we should always have within our heart and mind some prior good intentions. For verily it is one's intention where he will acquire the reward of his actions. For example, you can make the intention that you will listen to this speech entirely from beginning to end for the pleasure of Allah Almighty. You will listen to acquire Islamic knowledge. You will sit in a respectful manner. You will avoid laziness during the bayan, and try to listen to the bayan with the intention of rectifying oneself, islah, that we have faults within us, and inshallah, by means of this speech, we will try and rectify those mistakes. And finally, whatever you learn and you remember correctly, try your utmost to also convey this message to others as well. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear respectable brothers, today's topic is the importance of neighbors. The beautiful religion of Islam has guided us in every single aspect of our life. And if we look in the Holy Quran, we will also find guidance in regards to our neighbors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 36 of Surah An-Nisa, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ والجار ذي القربى والجار الجنب والصاحب بالجنب وابن السبيل وما ملكت ايمانكم ان الله لا يحب من كان مختالا فخورا. Translation from Kanzul Iman: and worship Allah and do not associate anyone with him. Be good to the parents, relatives, orphans and the needy, the near neighbor and the distant neighbor, and the close companion and the traveler, and your male and female slaves. Indeed, Allah does not like the arrogant the boastful. Within this blessed verse, this verse commands us to be good with 9 different types of people. And 2 of them are the close neighbor and the distant neighbor. A question can arise that who defines, who comes under the definition of a close neighbor, who comes in the definition of a distant neighbor. So it's been mentioned by our ulama kiram that one type of neighbors is he whose walls are connected with your home, but your doors are distant from one another. What is the example of this? You have your street, your house is here, and on the opposite side of your house is another street. So there's another home. So the walls of your home, the back of your home, the walls are touching with the back walls of now this neighbor's home. This is known as your distant neighbor. And if the doors of the homes are near each other, then you will be considered as being near neighbors to one another. So the distance of doors from one another indicates whether you are a near or distant neighbor to another person. Now, how can we mention this? Because there is a beautiful narration. Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, explains that one day I inquired, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have 2 neighbors. Who should I give gifts to? The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered, he whose door is closer to you. One of the famous commentators of the Quran, Mufti Ahmad Yarkha Naimi alayhi rahma, he mentions, from this hadith we learn that the nearness of a neighbor is determined by the closeness of the door to your door, not his roof or walls. If the roof and walls of someone's house are attached to yours, but his door is distant from yours, then he will be considered further away than a second person whose door is close to yours. This will remain the fact even if the second person's home is not connected to yours. As the doors are closer to each other, you will be meeting and interacting with this neighbor a lot more than the other person, especially during times of happiness or grief. And the renowned Mufti rahmatullahi alayhi further says, this hadith does not imply that one must not give gifts to a distant neighbor at all, but rather the overall meaning is that gifts should be given to all types of neighbors, but simply give your closer neighbor preference in this regard. So in summary, this hadith teaches us how neighbors whose doors are close to one another are referred to as close, and those whose doors are further away are called distant. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us in the verse of the Holy Quran to treat both of them with goodness. Now, this was one verse of the Holy Quran. Today this bayan is enriched with many prophetic narrations stating the honor and actually the maqam of the neighbor in Islam. And I would like everybody to reflect over each of these narrations, and inshallah we'll be mentioning the commentary from the ulama when appropriate. But this bayan is very, very important, as in today's time, and one way of attaining a good Muslim Islamic society is that our neighbors and our relations with our neighbors especially is to a very good and with kindness. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once instructed a companion radiallahu anhu to stand by the door of the masjid and make the following announcement: listen, O people, 40 homes are your neighbors. 40 homes are your neighbors. Imam Zuhri alayhi rahma, he says in relation to this, 40 homes to the right, 40 homes to the left, 40 in front, and 40 behind your own home. Like so, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also indicated to these 4 directions. My dear Islamic brothers, Islam has given neighbors great importance, such that showing good conduct towards them has been declared as one of those actions which perfect a Muslim's iman. In other words, we cannot become complete believers until we fulfill the rights of our neighbors. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, لا يؤمن عبد لا يأمن جاره بوائقه. A servant is not a complete believer if his neighbor is not safe from his evil. And on one occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took an oath by Allah 3 times, saying, Wallahi la yu'minu, Wallahi la yu'minu, Wallahi la yu'minu. Meaning, by Allah, he cannot be a believer. And the companions asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who cannot be a believer? To which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, الَّذِي لَا يَأْمَنُ جَارُهُ بَوَائِقَهُ. He whose neighbor is not safe from his evil. The next narration by Imam Bukhari is also very, very important. The companions radiallahu anhum once said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so and so woman spends the night in worship. She fasts during the day. She is extremely pious and gives a lot of charity. But she causes harm to her neighbors via her tongue. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا خير فيها هي من أهل النار. There is no good in her. She is from the people of the fire. The companions radiallahu anhum then said, another woman offers the obligatory salah, gives cheese in charity, and does not cause anyone harm. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam declared, Hiya min ahlil jannah. She is from the people of paradise. My dear sisters and brothers, we need to very much ponder and contemplate over this hadith time and time again. Just think of how much loss a person suffers by bringing harm or difficulty to his neighbor. Sadly, today we do not pay attention to this even in the slightest regard. Some people throw their rubbish on their neighbor's doorstep. Some cause disturbances late into the night. Loud noises can be heard from their homes, but they do not care if it disturbs their neighbors. If a wedding ceremony is taking place next door, then it is almost as if sleeping becomes haram for your surrounding neighbors. This is the state of people. Not only do they indulge in the sin of playing music, but they shout and scream on microphones. Perhaps a neighbor who is unwell, an elderly person, is now caused disturbance due to all of this ruckus and noise. Maybe there is a young child, an infant child who is resting, but now his sleep is disturbed because of so-and-so Muslims who are not taking care of the rights of the fellow Muslim. Unfortunately, some people do not even care about any of this happening. And some people start construction or repair work at night. Although this is not a sin, but it can still disturb sleeping neighbors. These actions should be instead be done during the day, so they do not cause fellow people any harm and any difficulty. Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidatuna Salama radiallahu anha explains, a goat belonging to a neighbor entered our home and picked up a piece of bread within its mouth. I went towards it and took the bread out of its jaw. Seeing me do this, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, O Salama, causing difficulty to the goat will not give you protection, as this is nothing short of causing harm to your neighbor. Allahu Akbar. My dear Islam brothers, may Allah shower His infinite mercy upon the Sahaba-i Kiram, who gave us such a bright example of living our life. Nowadays, unfortunately, the desire to benefit our Muslims is the complete opposite. Now all we want is to only harm them. Who likes to leave rubbish lying around in their own house? As the bin or waste yard is far away, so we decide to leave it on our neighbor's doorstep, ma'azallah, Allah forbid. Others wash the front of their homes with water and then cause the dirty water that gathers to be decided to be thrown carelessly on the road. This creates mud on the streets, which causes difficulty for those passing by. Similarly, there are many other things which people do not desire for themselves, but they are happy for their neighbors to encounter them. If only we were to truly understand the rights of our neighbors. On one occasion, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "He who has troubled his neighbor will not sit with us today." A person said, "I answered the call of nature beneath the wall of my neighbor's home," and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do not sit with us today." My dear sisters, think for a moment how displeased the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is for his own ummati follower to cause harm to another Muslim. Now remember that on the Day of Judgment, every single person will be in need of the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A day when every beloved person within our life will turn their back on us, and nobody but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will come to save us. But what will happen on that day if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself turned his blessed face away from us because of violating the rights of another Muslim? There's a beautiful narration that on one occasion the companion Sayyidina Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu narrates that one day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed wudu, and out of love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions began to collect the water that was used by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they rubbed it on their face and upon their bodies in order to acquire blessings. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam inquired and asked from the companions that what has made you do this? The companions replied, "Ya Rasulullah, out of our love for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Meaning, "O Messenger of Allah, you are beloved to us. You are the peace of our hearts, and we love even the water that comes into contact with you. This is why we are rubbing it upon our bodies." Now hearing this answer, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared, "Whoever wants to love Allah and His Messenger, or have Allah and His Messenger love him, should be truthful when he speaks, be trustworthy when entrusted, and be good to his neighbor." Mufti Ahmad Yarqa Naimi commentates and he says, this hadith first of all highlights utilizing the blessed water which has come from the body of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during wudu. And this action is completely permissible, and this is also something which the Sahabi Kiram have been proven to have performed. And remember, when we claim to love Allah and His Messenger, then this claim cannot go without a proof. And the proof for this is that we obey the commandments of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now these three actions which are mentioned in this narration, always speaking the truth, fulfilling trust, and behaving well with the neighbors, these are the root of correctness in all affairs. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned these three particular actions. Muslims who correct their affairs will find it easy to correct their acts of worship. Speaking the truth, fulfilling all trusts, and conducting oneself with the neighbors are hugely important. A large number of Muslims fall short in acting upon these three things, and many people who offer salah and perform hajj also fall short, but the true members of the ummah are very few. These were the words of Mufti Ahmad Yarqa Naimi alayhi rahmah. Now my dear Islamic brothers, we must never cause our neighbors any harm. And we must remember that if our neighbor is giving you trouble, then we must adopt and remain patient. As the great Imam Hassan Basri alayhi rahmah said in regards to this, establishing good relations with your neighbors does not only imply that you do not harm them, but it also entailed within this is that when they are bad to you, you observe patience. A man once asked Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that I have a neighbor who causes me harm and he speaks ill of me. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, go back. If your neighbor has disobeyed Allah in relation to you, then you should obey Allah to your neighbor. My dear Islamic brothers, the question may arise that if my neighbor is inconsiderate and continues to trouble me, then how long should I remain patient? Sometimes patience is not an option with such people. Now firstly, it's not common to have a neighbor who's extremely inconsiderate. Being good to others means that if they sever ties with you, you join their ties. If they oppress you, you forgive them, and if they take from you, you give to them. These are the principles and messages of Islam. And remember, we claim to be Muslim. So we must also resonate with these messages as well. But who behaves like this nowadays? People are complete opposite. They strive to sever relations. And if someone's oppressed, regardless whether he takes revenge or not, he will not interact with the other ever again. If we carry out our affairs correctly with dignity, it is impossible for someone to continuously oppress us. However, if your neighbor is extremely unkind and unaffected by your good mannerisms, continue to adopt patience. Imam Abu Layth Samarqandi alayhi rahma reports that a man once presented himself before the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he complained about his neighbor. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him this advice and said, "Do not trouble your neighbor and be patient if he troubles you. Death is enough to cause a distinction between you two." Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. My dear respectable brothers, just the few narrations which have been mentioned today highlight to us how important it is for Muslims to practically act upon these teachings of Islam pertaining to our neighbors. There is another narration in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave four pieces of advice to the companion of the Prophet Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he said, "O Abu Hurairah, kun wari'an takun a'badan nas." O Abu Hurairah, become God-fearing, become muttaqi, and you will become the greatest worshipper amongst the people. Wa ahib linnasi ma tuhibbu linafsik takun mu'mina. And love for the people that which you love for yourself, and you will become a complete believer. Wa ahsin mujawarata man jawaraka takun muslima. And be kind to your neighbor, you will become Muslims, meaning those who are granted peace. And finally, wa aqilid dahika, and laugh little. Fa inna kasrata dahiki yumitul qalb. Indeed, excessive laughter causes the heart to die. My dear Islamic brothers, while seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is necessary upon us to be kind to our neighbors and fulfill their rights. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, a man came and asked, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how can I come to know if I am doing good or bad? If I am a good person or a bad person?" The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, "If you hear your neighbor say you have done good, then you have indeed done good. And if you hear your neighbor say you have done bad, then you have indeed done bad." Allahu Akbar. My dear Islamic brothers, we now have an idea of how important our neighbors are. It is as if our neighbors are a certificate of our character. People may greet you by calling you a haji. People may kiss your hands at gatherings, give you respect, but they are not a witness to your good character. The decision of whether you are good or bad is made by the tongue of your neighbors. Therefore, they are a certificate to our good character. But it is unfortunate that people take this issue lightly. People will treat others with kindness, but become completely negligent when it comes to treating their neighbors well. It is commonly seen that people argue or fight with their neighbors mostly. The women of the house may begin arguing with neighbors because of an issue that arises regarding their children. This often leads to the men of the house conflicting with the neighbors too. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from arguing and fighting. Ameen. It's been reported by Sayyidina Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu that the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, "On the day of judgment, the first to be held to account will be two quarrelsome neighbors." This means that the dispute of neighbors will be dealt with first before anything else on the day of judgment. Remember, in matters of worship, you'll be questioned about salah first. With regards to affairs, people who killed others unjustly will be held accountable first. And with regards to the fulfillment of rights, you'll be questioned about your neighbors first. Sultanul Mufassirin, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "During the age of ignorance, the era of Jahiliyyah, people had three good habits, and Muslims have a greater right of adopting these three habits. Number one, whenever a guest would come to them, they would make great efforts in hosting and treating them well. Whenever someone's wife grew old, the husband would never divorce her, but rather he would stay with her and support her. And number three, if a neighbor was in debt or in a difficult situation, the people would try their best to pay off the debt or free him from the difficulty. Now, my dear son, brothers, these were habits which people in the time of ignorance had within them. But nowadays, unfortunately, there are people who only seek to oppress their neighbor. They show jealousy towards them if they achieve any type of success. If they see their neighbor advance in life, then they burn within to no end. But unfortunately, due to our lack of Islamic knowledge, we treat our neighbors worse, much worse than they would be treated in the era of ignorance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us guidance. My dear Islamic brothers, there are many different points to mention in this regard. I would like to bring the bayan to a close whilst mentioning the rights of the neighbor mentioned directly by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Do you know the rights of a neighbor?" He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then declared himself. He then said, "If he seeks help from you, then you should help him. If he asks you for a loan, give this to him. If he has a need, fulfill it. If he falls ill, visit him. If he passes away, participate in his funeral. If he receives goodness, congratulate him. If he faces a difficulty, offer your condolences. Do not build a home taller than his without his permission, lest the airflow reaching him is reduced." Allahu Akbar. "Do not trouble your neighbors. If you purchase fruit, give some of it to your neighbor. If you are unable to do this, then conceal it from your neighbor. Do not allow your children to leave the home with the said fruit, as your neighbor's children will become upset by this. Do not trouble your neighbors with the smell of your dish, as they say salan. In English is known as broth. And rather you should send some to them as well." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, "Do you know the rights of a neighbor? I take an oath by he who has power over my soul. Only those whom Allah has had mercy upon can truly fulfill the rights of a neighbor." Allahu Akbar. My dear son, brothers, throughout Islamic history, there are many different accounts where our pious predecessors, no matter how great they were, they observed this concept of being of fulfilling the rights of the neighbor. The likes of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, even when the neighbor was a non-Muslim and he was indebted to Imam Sahib, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, but still Imam Azam Abu Hanifa showed him kindness. The likes of Sayyidina Bayezid Bistami alayhi rahma, that on one occasion, his neighbor, who was a non-Muslim, he left for a journey for travel and his young child would cry at night. On inquiring Sayyidina Bayezid Bistami, he asked his family that why is the young child crying? And they said that it's because at night there is no light. Because in those times, there's not like electricity. The lamp, they would take it off so that they could sleep. But the child would become fear of the dark. So Sayyidina Bayezid Bistami alayhi rahma, every night until the father returned home, that non-Muslim father returned home, he gave his own candle and lamp every single night to that family. This treatment of treating your neighbors well is not just restricted to Muslims. But in Islam, we have teaching of even non-Muslims. And what happened? When the neighbor returned home and he asked about his family, his wife told him about the beautiful conduct of Sayyidina Bayezid Bistami alayhi rahma. And the non-Muslim then said, "Why should we remain in darkness in which the lamp of Bayezid Bistami has entered our home?" After saying this, the entire family accepted Islam. This is the true ulama of Islam, the true knowledgeable scholars of the religion acting upon the deen the way it should be. And this is how it has an effect. The Prophet ﷺ has also told us that there are three types of neighbors. Those who have three rights, those neighbors who have three rights, those who have two rights, and those who have one right. The neighbor who has three rights is the one who is your neighbor, who is related to you, and who is a Muslim. He has three individual rights upon you. him being your neighbor, him being a Muslim, and him being related to you. The second, who has two rights, is that neighbor who is your neighbor and who is a Muslim, with the rights of being a neighbor and a Muslim respectively. And the final individual is the one who only has one right, who is your neighbor, but he's not a Muslim, he still has one right over you. And that's the right of being a neighbor. My dear son brothers, the Sahaba Kiram came to such a level where they even remarked and they said these words, that we thought that the neighbor was given so much rights in Islam that we thought the Prophet would make the neighbor amongst the people of the heirs, as inheritors of a person's wealth. But it did not come to that level. This is how much emphasis, detail and explanation within Islam in regards to just respecting your neighbors. And irrespectively of a person's iman or not, whether he's a Muslim or not. If that is the state of Islam when it comes to the neighbor, then how much should we respect and value our relatives, our parents, those who have a blood relation to us, and those who are Muslim more importantly? My dear Islam brothers, what has happened to the Muslim Ummah today? That unfortunately today, the teachings of Islam we are not acting upon. And this is what we need to come back to. This is the beauty of Dawat Islami, that it again educates us about what is the true message of Islam, the true image of Islam, and how we as Muslims should try to adopt this. I will bring the bayan to a close with mentioning a few more narrations. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, the best neighbor in the sight of Allah is he who wishes well for his neighbor. And the second narration, he who troubled his neighbor troubled me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, he who troubled his neighbor has troubled me, and he who troubled me has displeased Allah Almighty. In Nudhatul Qari it has been written, every person figures out who his neighbor is in accordance with his customs and norms. And Imam Ghazali alayhi rahmah mentions, from the rights of the neighbor is to greet him with salam first, to not converse with him for a lengthy amount of time, and to not ask too many questions about his personal affairs. Allahu Akbar. My dear son brothers, this was just a brief summary of the bayan today in respect of the importance of neighbors in Islam. You can clearly get an image of how important it is for us to respect our neighbors. And if everybody makes this intention, that insha'Allahul Kareem, we will now try to act upon this to the best of our ability, we will see our community change. Our streets will change. Some people think that, no, I don't want to be the first person to go out and do this. But then how are you acting upon the teaching of Islam? You have been educated directly by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. You claim to be a Muslim. So then how are you then rejecting the teaching of Islam? Just because your ego or your stubbornness or your arrogance does not allow you to do so. Now we need to understand this concept of the neighbors and think about this within our vicinity today. When it comes to the homes, parking in incorrect places. At times, even in this beautiful Masjid of Fazan Medina Stetchford, there are people in today's time, not only in this Masjid and vicinity, around the world, you will see people at the time of Jumu'ah not parking their cars correctly, irrespectively, not even thinking about the neighbors. And at times, the neighbors are non-Muslim. So what would they feel and what would they think about Muslims? And the Muslims think that, oh, Namaz Jumu'ah, have to perform it. Yes, you do. But then you need to also keep respect of the necessity of the rights of the neighbor as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding of the deen, the true understanding of the deen. And may Allah grant us the strength, the power, the tawfiq to act upon what has been said. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyil ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mubalik for you, it's my prayer. Mubalik for you, it's my prayer. May you keep.